It's Morning Edition from NHPR. I'm Rick Ganley, and this is the New Hampshire News Recap. This year, two New Hampshire courts told the legislature they need to increase the amount of money the state spends per public school student. But in the first meeting of the legislative session this week, lawmakers voted against doing so. Let's bring in NHPR reporter Anne-Marie Timmons and Ethan DeWitt from the New Hampshire Bulletin. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Ethan, I want to start with you. There were two bills that lawmakers voted down this week, which would have addressed how the state funds public education. What were they?
Sure. So the first one was a very simple bill that would increase how much New Hampshire would spend per pupil on its students. So essentially, there is something called the adequacy formula, and it is there for school districts that need it. Right now, it funds about $4,300 per student at a base rate, and then there's additional amounts per student for English language learners, for people with special education. The courts have ruled in the last 2 years that number needs to be drastically higher in order to actually cover the costs of an adequate education. It needs to be at least $7,300 about. And what happened yesterday is that Democrats put forward a bill that would raise the amount the state spends to that level, and that bill was voted down. There was also a bill proposed by a Republican that would create a study committee that would look into alternative methods for funding public education with an aim to reducing property taxes and perhaps meeting the court's requirements. But that attempt to study the issue was also struck down by the House.
What are lawmakers opposed to passing these bills to address this issue? This has obviously been a longstanding issue, but what were some of the arguments made?
Sure. So I think there's a few fundamental issues that Republicans have. They, first of all, disagree with the decision itself. So just to kind of fill in, last year, the state Supreme Court, with an unusual makeup, there were a few vacancies that were filled by kind of alternate justices, ruled that the state does have an obligation to increase the spending. Republicans don't agree with that decision. And so they are disagreeing with the decision. They're also disagreeing with the court's authority to tell the legislature how much it should spend on public education. They see that as a violation of separation of powers. And they point to costs. In order to actually follow this court ruling to the letter, you would need to raise an enormous amount more into the state's education trust fund, which is the fund that pays public schools, to the tune of, you know, $500 million a year. There is no current mechanism right now to do that. It would require a drastic change. And so Republicans say that we don't agree with this decision to begin with. We don't think the court should tell us how to do it. And there's not enough money to do it, even if we wanted to right now.
Now, Anne-Marie, I mentioned earlier that state courts, of course, have told legislators that they do have to increase public school funding. As Ethan pointed out, Republicans reject this on its face. Can you explain how these cases got us here?
Well, New Hampshire has been sort of debating, fighting, however you want to describe it, education funding for more than 30 years. So this is not a new argument. But these cases that were sort of most recent stem from sort of the same old argument, which is the state is not spending enough to meet its constitutional duty to provide all students an adequate education. And so, as Ethan mentioned, the courts have said most recently, you are not spending enough. You need to spend more. And what's different this time is that we saw the Supreme Court say, yes, we do agree with that lower court decision that you need to spend almost $7,300 at least to provide an adequate education. But we're not going to give you a number. You can come up with a number. And I think one thing to note is that the court that decided that, the Supreme Court that issued that decision, is not quite the Supreme Court. For various reasons, for administrative leaves and recusals, this court was partially the sitting Supreme Court, but also Superior Court justice sitting in for the Supreme Court. So the reason that matters is if this comes back before the Supreme Court, we might see a different decision because there'll be different people sitting there.
The Supreme Court, if you will.
Yes.
So does the legislature have some kind of deadline to resolve this, to raise public school funding?
It does not. So no set amount of money and no deadline. I know it happens when I don't have a deadline. And so we'll see this year how the legislature does with that. one of the bills that Ethan mentioned, the study committee, one of the reasons that it was defeated is because its Republican sponsor said, it's too early for a study committee. Let us have this year to look at some of the ed funding bills that are coming up and see what we do. And if we don't get there, maybe this study committee will be ripe then. So there's sort of a hope on the part of at least that sponsor that they'll succeed, but with an awareness that we've been doing this a long time, we might not.
And as you said, there's no deadline. Well, you know what can happen there. Ethan, some Republicans, as you pointed out earlier, say raising this money to meet the court's decision is just not possible. What are the state's options for raising that money if they do have to go forward with it?
This is one of the more interesting questions, I think, about this, because it's the question that no one on either party seems to be ready to answer. Democrats have been the ones, as we noted, who put forward this bill this week that would have raised the amount the state spends by quite a lot, you know. What's interesting about the bill that they put forward is there is no mechanism in that bill to actually pay for that increase. There's nothing in there that changes revenue, that increases a tax, that adjusts the taxes that we do have. And when you ask Democrats directly, they're obviously in the minority. They say that they are, they're hoping that Republicans can work with them and find a way to change the revenue sources. But nobody seems willing to come forward with the mechanism to actually fundraise. And that's crucial because it does mean that as we kind of get months away from these court rulings, we're going to continue to see, very serious debates about this, but there hasn't been a lot developed in terms of how, and that's what some of these study committees might look at. Interestingly, there is one Republican, Walter Spilsbury, who has put forward a bill that will be debated this year that would increase the statewide education property tax. And he says that would raise billions of dollars more per year. It's a pretty controversial proposal, and I'm very curious to see where it goes. But in general, there hasn't been a lot of talk from either party about actual changes.
Yeah, and Senate President Sharon Carson saying the Senate is working on a bill that would address this court ruling specifically that would, quote, block activist court rulings that could force an income sales or statewide property tax. What more, Ethan, do we know about this proposal from the Senate?
To be honest, I'm still waiting to hear what that is, and I'm excited to see kind of what language they have. But there is a representative, Robert Lynn, who was a former Supreme Court justice, was the Chief Justice, and he very much opposes both the Conval decision last year and also the Claremont decisions in the 1990s. He has a bill that's coming forward that's a very subtle but potentially very important tweak to the state law around what constitutes an adequate education. He would like to redefine that, and also he'd like to put into state statute that funding for an adequate education is a shared responsibility between the state and local school boards. And doing that, some believe, might undermine the statutory need that was outlined in Claremont and Conval for the state to continue providing that money and thus be sued. Unclear how that would play out, unclear if that bill will ultimately pass, but that is one strategy that might be replicated in the Senate, changing the statute so that there actually isn't that clear obligation for the state anymore, which would negate further lawsuits.
Back to you for a minute, Anne-Marie. The Trump administration has frozen child care funding in several states amid allegations of fraud in Minnesota. But Governor Kelly Ayotte told child care providers this week that funding has not been paused here in New Hampshire. What are the funds that go towards child care in the state that Ayotte was reassuring the providers about?
This is the Child Care Scholarship Program, which provides families some money toward child care costs so that they can go back to work. And the program got a lot of attention during the pandemic as centers were closing and families were desperate for child care. So this is a shared program. The state pays some, the federal government pays some. And it's a lot of money, and it could not last long without federal funding. Last year, scholarships totaled $40 million. So the state money is there for sure, but it needs that federal funding. And as of now, that's secure, according to Governor Ayotte.
So what was the concern about this money being frozen for Granite Staters?
Well, it was partially, I think, inaccurate reporting by the national media outlet and very unclear information from the Trump administration. There was money frozen. They did freeze money to Minnesota. And then they said for other states, we're going to require some documentation to get their money. And so we saw a lot of national reporting that said that meant all funds were frozen. And it really alarmed providers here and elsewhere. And so I thought it was really important to dig into that. And what I found was, no, it's not frozen for everybody. Maybe it becomes frozen, but it's not right now. And Governor Ayotte has not been told that it is going to be.
Now, the Child Care Scholarship Program expanded in 2024 to cover more people in the state. How many kids get their care covered because of the funds that come here in New Hampshire?
It's approximately 5,000 students. It fluctuates a bit, summer that's more because school is out. But it's about 5,000 students. And it's really critical because it allows those families to go back to work who maybe couldn't afford childcare, which costs on average $17,000 a year in this state.
Now, AI does say that the funding is still secure at the moment for families here, but the Trump administration did announce earlier this week that there would be changes to how the program is run. What do we know about those?
This has also caused confusion. The Trump administration, in its press release, said we are rescinding the Biden era rules. And one of them is a cap that says no family who's in the program will pay more than 7% of their income toward childcare. So, for a family that's earning $89,000 a year, a family of three, they would be capped at about $6,700. So that's very key. And the other one allows providers to be paid based on enrollment rather than attendance. And attendance fluctuates, and it makes it very hard to, budget that way. So what's really happening is that the Trump administration is proposing changes. And if those rules are put in place as proposed, states would have a choice whether to keep that cap and that enrollment-based payment. And really, it would be up to state lawmakers to decide whether to change that.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there for today. But what are you watching for, Anne Marie, in the coming weeks with this?
Well, we'll see what happens. Is the Trump administration really not going to freeze funding? Will those rules eventually change as proposed? Back to education funding, I think it's going to be really important to watch school district meetings in March. I think we're going to see this debate over who pays for education really play out when voters are looking at their local school budget.
Just in the last 30 seconds, Ethan, what about you? What are you looking at? What are you looking forward to?
I think what we heard is that some Republicans are saying, we do want to study this issue. We do take these court rulings seriously. And some say we don't respect these court decisions. I want to see what happens in the next 6 months. Do we see meaningful studying and kind of proposals to actually address the court rulings?
Ethan DeWitt from the New Hampshire Bulletin and NHPR's Anne Marie Timmons, thank you both for coming in this morning.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you.
I'm Rick Ganley, and this is NHPR.